The CoreWeave benchmark results are genuinely striking. They posted the first public numbers for NVIDIA's Vera Rubin architecture, and the results show approximately 10 times the performance gain over the previous Blackwell generation. To put that in context, Blackwell was already the most capable AI training hardware commercially available, and Vera Rubin is 10 times faster. For anyone trying to understand why AI capabilities are advancing so quickly, this is a significant part of the answer. The underlying hardware is improving at a rate that outpaces what most people's mental models account for.
NVIDIA's publication of Vera CPU benchmarks, showing the chip narrowly outperforming AMD's EPYC in key tests, arrives at the same moment that AMD is announcing Microsoft as a Helios customer. This is a two-front competitive dynamic. NVIDIA is trying to establish Vera's credentials against AMD on raw performance benchmarks, while AMD is securing anchor enterprise customers to build market credibility. Microsoft as a Helios customer is a significant vote of confidence in AMD's architecture, given that Microsoft operates at a scale where they can run their own rigorous validation before committing.
The SpaceX earnings date announcement is a capital markets event with no direct historical precedent. The company will release its first ever quarterly report on August 4th. 2 days later, on August 6th, a $123 billion block of insider shares becomes eligible for trading. The magnitude of that unlock, $123 billion, means that even modest selling pressure from insiders could create significant market volatility. Jamie Dimon's endorsement of SpaceX's orbital data center concept as something that could work adds to the pre-earnings narrative building around the company.
The orbital data center concept is worth examining seriously rather than dismissing as science fiction. The theoretical advantages include proximity to satellites for low-latency space-based applications, reduced real estate costs, potential access to solar power without atmospheric interference, and the ability to serve global users without the latency penalties of routing data through terrestrial networks to a ground-based facility. Dimon flagged significant risks, and those are real, including radiation exposure to hardware, maintenance challenges, and launch cost dependencies. But the fact that the JP Morgan CEO is engaging with it seriously suggests it's moving from speculative to plausible.
SpaceX's satellite repair robot launch is another marker of how the company is diversifying its revenue base. The first U.S. satellite repair robot in orbit means SpaceX can extend the operational life of commercial satellites rather than replacing them entirely, which reduces the cost of maintaining satellite constellations and creates a new service revenue stream. It's also relevant to national security applications. The U.S. military has aging surveillance satellites that would benefit from on-orbit servicing.
The Musk announcement about SpaceX engineering data training Grok 4.6 is interesting both technically and as a governance question. He said the company will feed its internal engineering corpus into the 2 trillion parameter model's training run, excluding ITAR-restricted material. The ITAR carve-out is legally necessary. You can't use export-controlled defense-related technical data to train a model that might be accessed internationally. But the inclusion of SpaceX's engineering data more broadly means Grok 4.6 will potentially have access to proprietary aerospace and rocket engineering knowledge that no other AI system has trained on. That's a real capability differentiator.
The Tesla Cybercab confirmation of built-in Starlink V5 is the consumer product manifestation of this same integration strategy. Starlink V5 integrated into the vehicle roof means the Cybercab has direct satellite connectivity independent of terrestrial cellular networks. For a robo-taxi operating in areas with spotty cellular coverage, or in emergency scenarios where cellular infrastructure is compromised, that's a genuine operational advantage. It also makes every Cybercab a node in Starlink's ground network in a way that could have interesting implications for coverage density.
TSMC eyeing a price hike, which was part of the chip stocks story this week, is the infrastructure tax on all of this. TSMC fabricates the most advanced chips for NVIDIA, AMD, Apple, and essentially every AI hardware company. When TSMC raises prices, the cost propagates through the entire AI hardware supply chain. The chip stock's rebound after the Kimi K3 sell-off shows the market is resilient to individual model announcements, but a sustained TSMC price increase would compress margins across the sector.
The FCC's move to ban military-grade foreign drone imports, combined with the Marines selecting an AI gun turret for counter-drone missions, tells a coherent story about how the U.S. defense establishment is simultaneously restricting adversary drone technology access and building domestic AI-enabled counter-drone capabilities. The Marines' AI turret can autonomously identify and engage drone threats. The speed required to intercept small, fast UAVs exceeds what human operators can reliably provide. This is the military AI deployment that was theoretical 5 years ago, becoming operational doctrine.